You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I am here with a very special guest. He's been with us before. Always a pleasure to be speaking with Caleb Porter. Caleb, thank you for joining.
Happy holidays, everybody. Thank you so much, Donald.
Yes, yes. Happy to have you on, of course. And yes, happy holidays to everybody. We are coming up on Christmas time, that festive time of year where everybody's filled with either depression or cheer. And, you know, Santa's coming with presents or coal. Who knows? Usually coal with me. But
hey, well, that's good that you can put that into your locomotive.
So yes.
It's all up for you.
Or I can give it to Superman and he can make some diamonds for me.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, go that way.
Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, since we're around this time of year, let's talk about Santa himself, the big red fat suited man, whichever you prefer. He's large and in charge. He's the main man besides Lobo that brings the joy or the sadness each time around this time of year.
And a belly full of jelly.
Yes. What are your thoughts on Santa? I mean, a fan, not a fan?
You know what? I don't want to do that hackneyed thing, you know, by like acting like Santa's real, you know, because like that's silly. But, you know, I think it's very important for a child to have Santa in their life, you know, for the first, you know, whatever, 6-7 years, whatever is reasonable. I can't remember, you know, when I grew out of it exactly, you know. Probably pretty early because I wasn't a dummy, but yeah, I think it's a good childhood, you know, hallmark, honestly, to have Santa in your life, in your imagination. You know, it just makes things more fun. And it's also that fun little introduction to being a detective when you're a little kid, you know, and, you know, weighing out the logic of how this could happen and then, you know, coming to your own conclusion and then, you know, I guess breaking the spell, as it were.
Yeah.
I'm very much pro Santa. You know, I think it's important for a society to just have fun things like that. And, you know, not everything needs to be poo-pooed on. You know, it's for the kids.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, some will say, oh, we need, you know, Jesus and not Santa or whatever. And I totally understand where they're coming from. If that is indeed their religion of choice, it's not everybody's religion of choice. And right. I feel like you could have almost any religion, and I still think any religion you could have and still think Santa's a real thing. It's not necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily tie him directly with Christmas. I would just tie him directly with the spirit of charitability.
Yeah, you know, it's not, it doesn't have to be dogmatic. It's, you know, like, it doesn't have to be tied down. It's just for everybody, you know, it's getting and giving gifts for with people you love. You know, and really that it can be as surface as that, you know, it doesn't really need to get deeper. So, yeah, I'm all for Santa for everybody. And if the parents choose that Santa's not their thing, then, you know, so be it.
Right.
For me, you know, it's a great experience. And I have a lot of cherished Christmas memories. So I would hate for somebody to not have that. But, you know, everybody's different. But, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be as politicized as it is, or even, you know, gatekeeped, you know, this is getting a little heavy for right in the beginning, but you know, I feel it's for everybody and shouldn't be taken that seriously.
Right. And it's okay. I mean, I think like our audience is pretty well educated, you know, that they'll be able to, discern, you know, and make their own decisions and not get all in an uproar.
And just to be perfectly transparent here, I'm not religious. You know, I wasn't raised religious. You know, it has no bearing on me in that way whatsoever. It's just a fun cultural thing. So
yeah, I used to go to church when I was a kid, and then I walked up to my mom one day and I said, "Mom, I said I don't want to go to church anymore. I'm not getting anything out of it." Uh-huh. And she said, "Okay. No problem." So I stopped going. It doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, following certain rules or protocol.
And then oddly enough, football became your religion. So, you know, go figure, right?
Yeah, which is why I do so stunningly well at fantasy football. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Last place, buddy. Oh, damn. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the bag of coal.
I've Santa definitely brought me a really nasty gift this year. <That's>
I want to hear about it later.
A big fat L for the loser column on fantasy football.
My roommate's like always a part of like three or four of them, and like I think he came in dead last in two of the leagues, and then he actually won one of the leagues. And I don't have that kind of time, you know, with all my stack of comic books that are sitting there not being read. But you know, God bless him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So we need to talk.
All right, let's get into like the, you know, the fun of it all. I mean,
we're going to pivot. We're pivoting. Yeah. Okay. So you have Santa, right? Santa's, you know, jovial, giving gifts and stuff. Sometimes he's not so nice. He gives coal or whatever. Or sometimes if he's kind of more Krampus-y style of Santa, he comes to torment and torture. With that in mind, let's kind of conglomerate that. Let's bring that all together. Let's create this hybrid Santa.
Yeah. Don, we gotta establish the power set.
Yes. Santa, he's
clearly like an Omega level mutant.
Right. Know? Yeah. He's got time travel.
Yes. If he doesn't have time travel, he has super speed. Why not both?
Yes. Let's say he can time travel. He has super speed. Teleportation.
Yes.
Give him teleportation. Just give him super strength.
Or like a phase shifting abilities. You know, a lot of these are like, we don't really know. Like, it could be the time travel. It could be the super speed. But it's all the same in the end. You know, yeah. He can phase through walls or he can teleport. Same thing. But, actually, we probably should nail down on him, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think if we just establish that that he has the ability... let's leave time travel out of it.
Okay.
Let's just go with teleportation. And let's go with super speed.
The super speed basically could be time travel, you know, with like in the Flash comics where time is just standing still.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Right. We'll go with that. Also the ability to disguise himself.
There we go. Good.
I think that's important in case he gets caught or something. So he can like shift into maybe the form of a tree or a lamp or something like that. Or he can go invisible. So which do we want? Do we want the ability to shift into something or invisibility?
I like invisible as far as like a ninja, because I've never seen anything about him actually turning into a tree.
Right.
But, you know, you can imagine the fat guy like just, you know, backing up into a shadow or something.
Yeah.
Kind of so like that one paraplegic that's part of New Warriors, Silhouette.
Remember her?
She could like just fuse into shadows.
No, I don't remember that at all.
It was a 90s thing. He had to be there.
It's the name, Silhouette. I get that.
I got to say, considering his size, it's almost, you know, he has to have super strength and some form of high durability.
Just yeah.
Considering the body type.
Ability to take a punch. Let's say he's got iron hard skin. So basically, almost kind of like Colossus, but without turning into metal.
I like it. Oh, he's immortal?
Yeah, he's immortal. That's a good one. And let's say he's got the ability, he's got some type of charm ability.
Oh, yes.
Like yes. Almost hypnotic in nature.
Okay, so he gets the naughty or nice thing that kind of presents some sort of omniscience.
Yes, yeah, right? he can read your mind, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean he's really got it all when you just kind of put it down.
So he is a an Omega level mutant for sure. Like he's huge. Like he can bring the thunder. He can rival some of the greats. And speaking of rivaling some of the greats, let's say, for instance, Santa goes rogue.
Yes.
And I don't mean like he goes for Rogue from the X-Men and they have a relationship. I mean,
okay.
He goes rogue and we need somebody to stop Santa. Who do we send? Who do we send after Santa? Now, we could send a team. We can send one individual, a good guy or a bad guy, you know, a superhero or a supervillain. Remember when Hal Jordan went insane and they sent Sinestro after him? Like a like a last ditch effort. They were like, well, all the heroes have failed. Let's send in our biggest rival, our villain.
Well, let's start with who's not going to be there, right? Like, we can basically cut out all of our ocean dwelling people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I feel like there has to be kind of a theme, you know, like, I don't know. Do we really want to send, like, do we want to send Wolverine after him?
No.
Like, I don't know if it fits. I don't know.
I don't think that fits. I don't think Wolverine would do it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to talk about people that would want to take on this fight.
It's like when Ted Kord found out about the OMAC project. Like all of its evil entities that were involved, and he went to all these heroes to try to get them to help him, and none of them believed him. And then the one time one of them did, which was Wonder Woman, she was like, "I'm just too busy fighting actual villains mm-hmm. versus this conglomerate corporation. I think you can handle this, or maybe you should wait, and we can all take care of this together when I'm less busy."
Right.
So that kind of scenario, you know, where like maybe Wolverine would just laugh it off.
Yeah. Well, should we talk about who has canonically taken on Santa Claus and then maybe swing back around to like who would want to take up the call? Like, who
yeah, would, I think like, we could talk about Lobo.
yeah. Right. I mean, Lobo, it's almost like not fair because it's almost like Hulk Hogan in wrestling. Like there's so much momentum and popularity behind, you know, the Hulk machine, like kind of mm-hmm. as far as Lobo, like Lobo wasn't going to lose this fight no matter what, even though his power set is ridiculous. You know, he can regenerate off a drop of blood, but yeah, Lobo was never going to lose this fight against Santa Claus. And he didn't, it was very bloody. If anybody has paramilitary Christmas, number one.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think Santa would came off as kind of like a drunk, tough guy, you know, old bastard, you know, I'll take a hit to give a hit kind of style. But,
wow. Hey, guess what I just found out?
Huh.
I literally just got a text in right now. I'm going to be on an episode of Red Table Talk.
Ooh.
How about that?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I submitted a
That's
question.
That's the one with Jada Pinkett Smith?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God, what are you doing?
It's random, right?
Yeah.
I submitted a question to Keanu Reeves, like a video question, and they loved it. And he answered it live on the air, I guess.
Go, Donald!
So, all right.
Whoa!
Yeah, I'll take it. Sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congrats, bro. Christmas came early for you.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. That's That's cool. That's good news to get live while we're recording this. But that has nothing to do with Santa, really, except for, you know, me getting a present. I guess me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you think he heard us talking?
I'm happy to hear it.
Do you think he heard us talking right now?
Sure, Donald. Sure. Absolutely. If you you dream it, you can be it.
Well, if there's kids listening right now, then yes, he must have heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got a nice gift. But anyway, I digress. So Lobo and Santa, they fought and it was a bloody battle.
Yep.
Ultimately, who was the winner?
Lobo.
Lobo. Yeah, it's not out of
hand. Eviscerated him. Like he disemboweled Santa. Something like it was very bloody.
Yeah. So Lobo versus Santa. With our parameters, I think Lobo would have a harder time.
Yeah. Yeah, he would.
Because you have a shape-shifting, invisible, visible Santa that's moving all around, that is able to basically time travel. He has super speed. He can teleport. He has super strength. I think him and Lobo I think that they would beat each other and to the point where they would both decide that maybe they need to get beers and just like,
definitely. Yeah. Like, hey, game recognized game. I like your style.
Right. Okay. I feel like that they would go through Santa's naughty list while drinking, laughing about it.
You know, it's interesting too, because if you think about it, there is like a Puppet Master arcade type quality to Santa Claus with all his elf minions, as well as all, like, you know, the Nutcracker defense sentries, you know, all the crazy, like, you know, toys he could build that could, you know, basically accompany him. Kind of like Dr. Doom and the Doombots. Dr. Doom would take on Santa Claus. He would take up that challenge.
That's true. And I feel like Dr. Doom is a worthy adversary.
Absolutely. With the magic.
He's got the magic, like Santa does. We forgot to mention that. Santa's basically like Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So he's got the magic to rival, the sorcery to rival Santa. He's got the intelligence. Santa's highly intelligent, obviously. And he has...
the drive.
You know, mechanical skills.
Yes, and the want to do it. And, you know, like what he would probably try and... commandeer Santa's travel system, you know, to be at all these places all the time. Yeah, I think Dr. Doom's definitely picking up that fight. Yeah, definitely. No doubt. I got to think, like, maybe even though we've kind of established Santa Claus as this, like, almost godlike being, I feel like it's a little bit beneath Galactus to come down to Earth and, you know, mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we don't really need him to come to Earth to fight Santa.
No, not really. I think Santa would go to Galactus.
Yeah.
He would be like, you're on the naughty list.
Yeah. I feel like Santa's jurisdiction, you know, kind of like Hal Jordan of 2814 is just Earth. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it Earth.
I think he could be. He could be very similar to a Green Lantern. I also, he has the ability to breathe in space. Let's just be real here. Oh, Santa, yeah. You know, at the rate he's traveling and at the atmospheres that he gets in, he would have to. Or he would have to have the ability to generate force fields.
Yeah, and the North Pole is really cold, so he can handle extreme temperatures.
Yeah, you know? So I think that's where he takes Doom. I think that's how he takes Doom. If Doom has more time to prepare, mm-hmm. I think Doom could come up with some mechanical constructs and some sorcery to be able to shield himself and stuff like that. But yeah, I think Santa's pretty clever, so I feel like he would lure Doom with the idea of the North Pole being better than Latvia.
Right. It would be like a arms race or something, and possibly everything destroyed, you know, before Santa gets the W.
Right. Yeah. Possibly.
Man, we really trumped up Santa, but like it just makes sense with you know, the known power set.
Yeah. We did, but you know what? This is all the way it is. I mean, this is like, yeah, we've really created like the ultimate superhero or supervillain, depending on how you look at it.
Oh, definitely.
I'm trying.
My buddy Nathan had mentioned that even though there's no possible way he would win, Moon Knight would want to take that on, you know, because there's no gods before Khonshu.
Right. So Moon That's Knight's a good point.
To like get in and put his say on things. And,
I like that.
Right.
Yeah, Moon Knight would just be so quickly eliminated, that poor son of a bitch would not have a chance.
Yeah, it would, like, Santa be like, huh?
I feel like the Punisher would try, too.
Mm.
In fact, I think the Punisher, he has teamed up with Moon Knight in the past, so I feel like he would join him in that quest.
I'll second that.
I think he'd be like, yeah, fuck it, let's do this.
Maybe on the rumor that maybe... You know, I mean, it's a Punisher comic book, ostensibly, so maybe on the rumor that Santa, you know, was a slaver, you know, uh-huh. with the elves, or maybe even something as untoward as, you know, child abuse.
Right.
You know, just spitballing here. I'm not.
Yeah, he would say all children, whether good or bad, deserve something pleasurable.
There you go.
And Santa delivering coal is child abuse, or it's torment to these children.
Correct.
And it's setting the wrong example. So yeah, I could see the Punisher being like, you deserve to be punished.
Yes.
I see the Punisher getting close. Like, and I don't mean close to killing him, but I think he gets close to him. Like, yeah. I think he's able to get so close to him that Santa, the only way he's saved is that when the Punisher goes to slit his throat, Santa laughs, ho, 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 but
right,
you realize I had the strongest skin alive, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, and anytime it's like a human person going after a godlike being, you know, the godlike being usually toys with them, you know, like a cat with a mouse, so they don't really play up all their abilities, you know, like kind of like Superman and Batman, like Superman's always kind of going easy and, you know what I mean? Like, kind of like, I'm not going to really unleash it. You're my friend. Let's see how this plays out kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, totally could see that. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that if we're talking like, I think Superman, if you sent Superman after him, I think Superman would have some doubts as far as like, could he really do this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that Superman's like the number one, you know, the Boy Scout. Also, I think that Shazam would also, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, would have some trouble as well, particularly because it's a young boy inside of a man's body.
Yes, yeah, depending on who's writing him. Yeah.
Right. So I think we would run into some trouble there also, probably even more so than Superman. So I think those guys would kind of be a little more out of the question. But speaking of which, I think the question is just nutty enough to go after him as well. I think the question would do it.
The question, the trench coat.
Yep. And I think
I
could talk Detective Chimp into going with him on this.
Yeah.
So we have the question with Detective Chimp. Who do we want to throw anybody else in there with them?
I mean, would he ask Dr. Fate to just come along to, or even Spectre? Like, ooh. Spectre seems like somebody that could definitely go toe-to-toe, and his realm is the Earth, you know?
You know what? In that case, then, I think they convinced the Phantom Stranger, who then has a line in with the Spectre.
There you go.
With Jim Corrigan. Or alternatively, we could throw the Demon in there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Entrigan, you know, he would start rhyming, and Santa Claus would be like, that rhymes really bad. I never could get through Demon Comics when I was a kid because the rhyming just, I couldn't take it.
Yeah. They always, you know, I noticed this kind of an offshoot, but a lot of times with Etrigan, he'll rhyme the word again, like the actual word A-G-A-I-N, again. Uh-huh. But it's like the way that's said doesn't exactly like rhyme with like the word gain. You know, so it's mm-hmm. always this like weird little like kind of twist you have to do on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't work phonetically.
Yeah. There's a couple words like that where it's like, OK, you're clearly taking some liberties with the pronunciation of that. And I guess I remember Garth Ennis, he wrote Demon, and he was saying that, yeah, he just listened to a lot of rap. You know, that's
really
into Dr. Dre and, you know, all the, you know, old school ones. You know, just to kind of get more of a lyrical sense of what to do. They're fun books. I don't know if you ever read the Demon books by Garth Ennis, but a lot of fun. First appearance of Hitman in the annual.
That's true. Yeah. And that's still cheap, dude. That's still very cheap. In Hitman, by the way, is DC's version of the Punisher, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, very, very close to it. And he was actually created, if I recall, he was created by one of those alien beings that was... It was in a Bloodlines crossover.
Good memory. Yes. Yeah, it was silly. He's like the only person to come out of it. And I don't think people are really kicking around Hitman because like he died at the end of his series, as far as I recall. And it's a shame because like what a great character.
You know what? Speaking of that, I have somebody I think that would be a perfect match to take on Santa Claus.
Let's do it.
Resurrection Man.
Oh, yeah.
Every time he dies, whatever was used against him to kill him, he comes back resistant to that power.
Oh, that's right.
So if Santa would use magic on him and it killed him, he would come back and be immune.
Yeah. Dang, I forgot how OP Resurrection Man was. Yeah, that was a fun series too. Abnett and Lanning, I believe.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, very good memory. Yeah.
Yeah, those are good. Those
Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, back when they were still talking to each other, I guess.
Oh, no way. They had a falling out?
From what I understand, they're decided to part ways as far as, like, creatively.
Damn.
So that tells you something.
Yeah, I guess so. Or, you know, just had enough. I mean, they've been together for, like, what, 20 years, 30 years?
What was, like, Palmaty and Gray? When they were, they wrote a lot of stuff together, particularly Jonah Hex, and it was excellent. You will never hear me say a bad word about their Jonah Hex work. I thought it was phenomenal. Some of the best work in DC in forever. And in fact, you can pick up the trade super cheap. It's really good stuff. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, Jonah Hex is very good because I like the Lansdale issues, like Joe R. Lansdale.
Uh huh.
The last name right, like Riders of the Worm and such.
Yeah,
like, really well done. Like those are just fun. Those and that guy's a hell of a writer too. Like
those were the Vertigo days.
Really. Oh yeah, yeah, Vertigo.
Yeah, that was back when they were like, we don't know where to put Jonah. He doesn't fit within the DC world, so let's make him, part of the Vertigo titles, which was great.
It was so fun, yeah, because it wasn't like it was Western, but it was like Western horror. Western science fiction, like Western supernatural. Like it was so
totally agree. A
fun character.
I think that, Palmaty and Gray did a great job when they introduced Jonah to one of the ancestors of Arkham.
Oh, okay. Nice.
They tied it to Gotham that way. And I thought that was excellent because he became kind of like,
like a catalyst,
a sidekick, so to speak.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like somebody that would follow, like the Watson to the Sherlock.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 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 I was actually, my first thought, this is going to be so random and weird. My first thought was he's the Rob Schneider to Judge Dredd.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Only you, Donald. Only you.
That shows where my mind's at. Yeah. So, yeah. You know.
I mean, I feel like we kind of covered the Santa question to the best of our ability. I mean, once you talk about Superman and Captain Marvel, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we mentioned Dr. Doom, I would say Iron Man also, Tony Stark, Reed Richards would have.
Reed Richards.
Great opportunities. Batman, of course, with prep time would and could do very well. He would try to find Santa's weaknesses. Which I think are the tears of children. those types of guys, I think you're not going to beat him so much with power as you are with brains.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can be a scumbag like Star Fox and start making moves on Mrs. Claus.
That's true. Or even Santa.
Make him irrational.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I touched your butt, Santa. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Yeah. You like that.
Yeah, speaking of that, what do you think about him being Star Fox being introduced now into the MCU?
Yeah, that's Styles, correct? Harry Styles?
Yeah, yeah. And this is spoilers, by the way, for those that haven't seen The Eternals. Sorry.
It made all like, you know, the, you know, all the gossip blogs, you know.
Yeah.
So
we're sorry, but not sorry, really. Yeah, because you should know by now.
You know, I tried to do a good thing and kind of like give my cousin, my cousin, Mary, you know, she's a 23-year-old girl, 24. She's a big Harry Styles fan. She actually went out to New York to catch a concert. And, you know, I tried telling her about this. She's like, oh, yeah, I know. You know, like we all know, you know, like I'm sure he probably has some sort of mention of it in his concerts that, hey, you know, look for me at the end of this movie. But yeah, it's not a secret. I'm all for it. I'm curious to see how they play it. You know, I have not seen the end of Eternals, so I have not seen the clip that, you know, introduces him. But You know, I mean, let's be very frank. Star Fox is a very problematic character and was handled very well in the Dan Slott She-Hulk series, where it's like, hey, dude, you're kind of a rapist. You know, this is actually really inappropriate. So,
yeah.
I mean, those that don't know Star Fox's power set, he can, like, basically manipulate your emotions to where you're in love or in lust with him.
Right.
So if you did not want to engage in any sexual stuff with this guy, if he, like, basically says different, that's kind of the way it is because you're overpowered.
And, you know, I love
really not cool.
Everybody thinks that with him, but I have not heard one peep about the Crimson Fox, who is the exact same power set.
That's the chick, right?
A lady in the DC universe.
Yeah, yeah. She has like a black and brown costume kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the weirdest looking costume. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like got a big head.
Kind of a giant tail that comes up from behind and comes over and attaches to the back of her head or some shit. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it is a very unwieldy costume. I'm picturing it in my mind's eye, but I can't necessarily put all the pieces together.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like a big cobra head kind of hood. Oh, yeah, well, I mean, you know, female privilege, you know, who's going to turn that down? You know, like, mm-hmm. Unless she's, like, making moves on some married guy. I didn't know that was her power set, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's not, like, cosmic, so it's probably not as strong as Star Fox.
Like a pheromone thing? Like,
but, yeah, it's a pheromone-based, so, yeah, she can control you by releasing pheromones, so she can make you extremely attracted to her. If she wants.
The pheromone argument is kind of just like, it's definitely not as overt as Star Fox, but it's kind of just a nudge. You know, this is a nudge in that direction. You know, if somebody was already feeling attractive, then it would kind of like, you know, kind of like push it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just kind of my intuition on it. But
You know, speaking of Crimson Fox, there I can't remember. It was the Justice League Europe, I believe, at the time.
That sounds right.
After some of the big guns
see Bart Sears drawing her.
Yeah, after some of the big guns had left, like Green Lantern had left, and Batman, and I think even Blue Beetle. I don't think Blue Beetle was there. Elongated Man had left at the time. So it was like very limited. I think it was like Crimson Fox, Blue Devil, and like one or two others. And they were still calling themselves Justice League Europe. They went after a villain called Mist.
Uh-huh.
Or called the Mist. And she was like the arch rival of Starman at the time, which was written by James Robinson.
Okay.
And yeah. In one issue, she took down the entire Justice League Europe. Basically, okay. Because Blue Devil's powers were, actually then from, like, the devil.
Oh, okay.
So she used, she put holy water in the sprinkler system.
Oh, that's clever. I like that.
And then just, like, lit a match or something, or lit something on fire, and then the sprinkler system kicked off and basically just killed him. And I can't remember what she did with Crimson Fox.
I'm looking at Google images of Crimson Fox, and yeah, the costume is unwieldy as I could imagine. You're right. It's a hood that kind of like tapers down to a tail, and
yeah.
It looks very.
Everybody weird. Look this up because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And by the way, crazy. She might have the ability to also take Santa, because if she could get close enough, she could basically just make him realize he loved her and he'd leave Mrs. Claus, and she could control Christmas from then on.
Hey, I'm not mad at it. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, yeah. I think hypnosis could also be part of his weakness, you know? Yeah. Anybody that,
mind
that
control, has the ability. Yeah, mind control and pushing his emotions out of whack. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
There's nothing to say that he's susceptible to that.
Really. Right, but the only thing is, you have to block your intentions from him because he can read your mind.
Oh, yeah, we established that. Wow.
Yeah. So if he can tell that you're going to do that, then he can block that, and then he'll just demolish you. But if you can get in, like with Crimson, if she can make it, to where it's just, it's part of her, and it's a physical aspect, not a mental aspect.
Mm-hmm.
If she can separate that, then she can control him. And I think she could do it.
Nice. Okay. I wasn't that familiar with her power set, but you being a believer has made me a believer, Donald.
All right.
I think that's your power set. You should have been a cult leader in another life.
You know, I've thought about it. Yeah.
Don't give up on your dreams, man.
Don't give up on my dream. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think we pretty much covered the bases. We could go on and on, to be honest, but I want to pose this question to those out in the audience, those that are listening right now. Who do you think could take Santa and why?
There's probably somebody, some listener out there that is just itching and being like, you idiots, you're missing this most obvious character.
Of course.
I'd be very curious to hear what's going on too.
Yeah, there's so many comic book characters out there in the universes that we could go on and on and on. So obviously we're going to miss some great ones, and we want to know what you think. So leave a comment on the YouTube comment page if you're listening to us on YouTube. If you're listening to us on any other platform, SoundCloud, something like that, leave us a comment there. You can always reach out to us on our social media platforms, Facebook. We are also on Instagram, and we're on Twitter as well. So you can reach out to us on any of those at The Real Short Box. You can find, we do, by the way, do live podcast shows, video podcast shows, pretty much every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube Live, which is just YouTube, just the live version, where you can chat and comment. We do a lot of battles and fights, and you vote, and we do top tens, and we do a lot of giveaways. We give away a lot of prizes, a lot of fun things.
Those are such fun shows on Mondays. Like, I try my best to catch them if I'm not working, but I've had a great time every time I've been able to catch one of the shows.
Oh, so thank you. Yeah, we put out a great fun product. We try to make fun.
Everybody's so nice too. Everybody, one of your co-hosts, they're all awesome.
They're really funny. They know their stuff.
Like, you don't have any dummies on there. Really, like, everybody's like on their game, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
we always learn so much, especially with your your talks with the We Are Heroes comic book guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I always learn so much about the market, and you just have this encyclopedic knowledge of the ins and outs of the industry. I always learn something, and I thank you.
Oh, thank you for listening, and we definitely need to get you on. We've talked about it a million times. We need to get you on one of the live shows for sure.
I would love that. Working man, it's going to happen though. It has to.
It needs to happen. You'll have to take a vacation day, a sick day, something. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll change the day even to try to work around.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But thank you, Caleb. This has been great. Appreciate you very much for being on.
Likewise, Donald. I always appreciate you asking me to do this because it's always a fun time. And just thank you again for inviting me into this universe you've created. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Oh, of course. It's always been, like I said, it's always been a pleasure having you on. We always look forward to having you on. And this was a very, very fun, special little holiday episode that we did. So I appreciate you taking your time out of the day to do this. And I appreciate the audience that's listening right now. And, if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we will see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Caleb. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.